Let's turn in God's Word to Exodus and chapter 11. In Exodus chapter 11, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 10. Exodus 11, and beginning in verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. So give your attention to them. And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt in the sight of Pharaoh's servants and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh. And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. And those are God's words. Now this chapter begins with the plundering of the Egyptians, because the Lord's favor that he had given to his people in the eyes of the Egyptians. And when the Lord fights the battle of the people of God, we remember are blessed. And here is the last message to Pharaoh. That is the promise of the last plague, the tenth plague, the ending of the lives of the firstborn in Egypt, every firstborn of Egypt, of Pharaoh's, all the way down to the common person. And all the firstborn of the animals as well, the beasts. The Lord promises that this would bring about a great cry throughout all of Egypt. And of course it would. Losing your firstborn child, and then having that to be true in all the households. And then even in the animals, a great cry throughout Egypt. And this will not happen to any in Israel. Not of God's people, only to Egypt. Again, the Lord again distinguishes His people from those of the world. Pharaoh even in this would harden his heart. Verse 10, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let the people of Israel go. That's a summary of what has happened so far. But here is the proclamation of death in Egypt. But even with the threat upon his own child and all of the firstborns of Egypt, including the animals, he does not budge with the promise or the warning of it. Revelation 16, it says, And men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Beloved, Pharaoh is the epitome of unbelievers and the seed of the serpent. Apart from the grace of God, all men are like Pharaoh. Our calling here is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says, for he saith unto Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore he hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will, he hardeneth. And so we remember the sovereignty of our God from Romans 9. We also remember a call to each and every one of us, Romans 10, that we need to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And so you're called here to believe on Him, lest you be like the numbers of Israel or Egypt. We would rather that you be of the number of Israel, of God's people who are not affected by the plagues, but blessed in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you praise. We are thankful for the gospel of Jesus Christ, your Son. We are thankful that you sent your Son to this earth, born of the Virgin Mary, born not in sin because he was not in union with Adam, but born by the power of the Holy Spirit, never sinning, righteous, tempted in every way we are, and yet without sin. He, our mediator, suffering and dying on the cross, as we've read in Luke's Gospel last Lord's Day. Many saying again and again that he had done nothing wrong, there was no fault in him, that he was righteous. And yet suffered and died there on the cross, saying even to the thief on the cross next to him, the one that rebuked the other, that today you will be with me in paradise. It's the same promise to us who believe on Christ as that thief on the cross did, though he was a murderer and a thief. Father, that we would believe. That we would not just believe that Jesus died on the cross and lived a perfect life, died and rose from the dead on the third day. But Father, that we would cling to that promise. That in Christ alone we have our salvation. That in Christ alone He has taken on Himself the condemnation that we deserved. That He has credited us with His perfect righteousness that we cannot have of ourselves because of our sin. And so we are thankful again for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are thankful that you are God who over and over and over again throughout the Scriptures show that there is a distinction between those who are your people and those who are not your people. Those who are of the seed of the woman, those who are of the seed of the serpent. Those who are of Egypt, and those who are of Israel. Those who are in the church. Your covenant people in the church, and those who are outside in the world. Those who have the sign of baptism upon them, those who do not. Those who partake of the Lord's Supper, and those who do not. We're thankful for these things. You would remind us again and again why we have such things, why we have those signs, those sacraments. Not because we are worthy, or that because we are good enough, or that because we earned it. None of us have. But our worth and worthiness is found in Christ alone. By His blood spilt for us, His body sacrificed for us. Father, we do contemplate as we read about Your judgments, as we just sang about Your judgments, that the nation that does not have You, Lord, as their God and follows after You as their God, is liable, made liable to the judgments, the temporal judgments of this world. And so it is very clear that we are under such judgments as a nation. And Father, those judgments, those little judgments or lesser judgments have been coming upon us to warn us and to be a plea unto us to turn to You, the giver of judgments, the maker of judgments, that we would turn from our sins, that we would repent as a nation. And have You, God, as our God. But so far we have failed in this. We continue as a nation in our pride that we are the best nation, that we know, and amongst our rulers, they believe, they know exactly according to their own methods and wisdom, man's wisdom, how to rule well. And they line their pockets with cash and gold while they make the poor poorer. And they murder babies and adults. And there is a lack of justice amongst the judges. And they allow perversity to continue and encourage it and celebrate it. Father, we pray and plead as Abraham did that even for the few righteous who remain, that You would spare this nation. And Father, rather that we plead today that You would send Your Holy Spirit to do a great and mighty work that we in reality probably don't expect to happen because we have a lack of faith. But Father, You can save these leaders, this magistrate, and You can turn them by Your Spirit to rule according to Your Word. We see the examples of it in Scripture. Even making rulers and mighty men to fall and bow down. But especially You do that when Your people are courageous and zealous for the Lord and faithful unto You. And so, Father, we come to ourselves. We ask that You would forgive us of our sins, that You would turn us from them, that as they continue, that flesh keeps coming up and trying to and tempting us to take part in sin. Father, put that sin to death in our hearts. And cause us, even in our hearts, to be filled with the righteousness of Christ Your Son. Cause us by Your Spirit, strengthened, to put on the armor of God and resist the devil, knowing that he will flee from us. Thankful for that promise in Scripture. And how if we endure, we will reign with Christ on His throne in union with Him. And so, Father, by Your Son, who is our mediator and our King, save us from this perverse world and from the judgments that are rightly to come. And turn us unto Yourself that we would be faithful, that we would call our magistrates to faith in Christ and to repent of their sins. and warn them of what your word says. Further, Father, we pray for our presbytery, our denomination, that we would repent of our sins, even lesser judgments happening in our midst. We pray that we would turn from our sins, we would turn back to that covenant that we are under, in which we, and the majority of our denomination would probably say, we are not under. Father, we pray that you would turn us to yourself and cause us to be faithful to your word and the duties that you call us to, each one of us. And it begins, of course, right here on the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, morning and evening, to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the means of grace, the word, sacraments, and prayer. We pray that these would be effectual, that you would shower your grace upon us by your Spirit. We pray for this congregation that you would strengthen our souls, strengthen our hearts by your word and your Spirit against wickedness and evil. And you would strengthen us for the task of evangelism, of righteousness, of love towards you and our neighbor. We pray for those who are struggling in their bodies, that you would heal and strengthen and mend the bodies who are frail and who are weak at this moment. And Father, for our souls, even more we plead for our souls that you would strengthen us. There is wickedness amongst us. Turn us from it, Father. We cannot do it of ourselves. And then we pray for our children and our grandchildren, all of them who are here this morning and who are outside, cut off, as they've cut themselves off. We pray that you would turn their hearts unto you. Hey, as your word goes forth, that they would be attentive. And you would cause them to have ears to hear. You'd bless them. According to your covenant promises, we pray that you would be faithful. That we would know your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness by night. Even of those who have gone out from us, we plead that you would wreck them, plague them with your word, and turn their hearts unto you with the joy that alone can be found in Christ your Son. That is our only hope, and that is their only hope. And so we plead for them. We pray that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.